than wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. What a Savior. Thank you, folks, for singing for the Lord and using the talent that God has given you to be a blessing to the church and for the Lord. You have your Bible open to 2 Thessalonians. This morning we were in Psalm 57 talking about our heart being fixed, steadfast, settled, set, that we're going to serve God with our lives. Life has a lot of twists and turns, and we just have to determine by the grace of God and through the power of God, we're going to serve the Lord with our lives. And I hope that you've made that declaration. You've resolved in your heart, you're going to serve the Lord. Here, the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 is writing to a group of believers in Thessalonica. It's very interesting to read about the birth of this church on Paul. I think it was a second missionary journey in the book of Acts chapter 17. How that he and his missionary team went through and the church was founded. It's very interesting to read about it. This place is still around today. It's not called by Thessalonica. I think it's Salonia or something. It's something different, but it's still around today. This city is still around today. And it was a very thriving area in the day in which the Apostle Paul and his missionary team passed through there. Now, when Paul was there, these believers had a lot of concerns. And so Paul's first letter addressed some of these concerns. And then the second letter, they had some concerns that had turned into fear. And so he wrote them this second epistle, this letter, to address some of those things because they were going through. Well, look at it, if you would, in chapter number 1. Let's just see some of the things that Paul mentions that they were going through. He said in verse number 4, the latter part, he mentions your persecutions. You see that? Your persecutions and tribulations. He also mentioned the latter part of verse number 5. He said, for which ye suffer. He talked about in the latter part of verse number 6, them that trouble you. And so they were going through some difficult times. And as I thought about this chapter in the Word of God, I thought about our church. Our church is passing through some troubled waters. And it happens. It just happens. You can't be on the mountaintop all the time. You just can't. And anyone that tells you anything different, well, they're not being truthful with you. Life has trouble. The Word of God bears that out. We looked at it this morning. There's going to be some trouble spots. There's going to be some valley. There's going to be some cave experiences. So what do we do? Well, I like what the Apostle Paul did here. The Apostle Paul was a very stern man, but he was also a man of encouragement. And I want to take what the Apostle Paul does here, and in particular in these first four verses, I want to relay to you some things that he does that I think will be a help to you and I as a church. Because as a body of believers, we're in this together. You know, no man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. As a church, we weep with one another, we rejoice with one another, we hurt with one another, and we assist one another. That's just what a good, healthy church body does. And so the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter, he commended them. I'm going to give you three words, and I'm only going to get to one of them this evening. But this chapter, the Apostle Paul, he encourages them. Now, usually when we think of encouragement, we always go to Barnabas. He was the great encourager. But the Apostle Paul oftentimes encouraged these churches where he had left believers and where he had left churches, and he wrote them back. And yes, he did correct some things. He set some things in order. But he also encouraged them. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4, what the Apostle Paul said. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, he said, I want to praise you. So you ought to not praise man. Well, it's okay. I mean, listen, there's no wrong in giving honor and praise if it's on the right level. And he said, you know, I'm just thankful for you. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. He said, I'm thankful that I'm seeing God work in your life. You are not allowing these tribulations and these trials and this suffering and this trouble to cause you to faint and to quit. You're rallying together. You're believing God's word. You're reaching out to one another, and you're helping one another. And so he said, I glory in that. He said, I praise God, number one. He said, but I'm telling other churches how God's working in your church. Look what he said again in verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. He said, I'm telling others what you're allowing God to do in your fellowship. And then he said, church, it's not that just I praise you. He said, but I want you to know there's a promise that Jesus is coming again, and that these troubles, well, they're just temporary. Because this life is temporary. These things are going to pass, brethren. This world is not our home. We're leaving here. Okay? This is temporal. This is a journey that we're on. And one day our journey in this life will end. Notice the Apostle Paul, he goes from the promise to, or the praise to the promise. He starts talking about Jesus coming again. Just look at some of the words and the phrases that he used. Look at verse number 7. He said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. He said, I've got something that you can rest in. What is that? He said, the Lord shall be revealed from heaven. Jesus is coming again. Amen. He said, take some comfort. Take some rest in that promise. Notice what else. Look down in verse number 9. Right in the middle of the verse, he said, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, Jesus is coming again. Look at verse number 10. When he shall come, Jesus is coming again. This life is not all there is. For Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But I'm glad that this is not all there is. For Christ has risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. And so I'm thankful to God for the promise. And then he closed it with this in verse number 11 and 12. He said, I want to encourage you by praising you, bragging on you a little bit for what you're allowing God to do in your life. Now, sometimes we may feel like, you know, I just don't feel like I'm growing any. But people on the outside, Paul saw the growth in this church. He saw how these things that God was working in and through them were allowing them to grow. And I hope you'll see it in your life. Now, if you don't, I pray God will convict you in your heart and you'll say, you know, I need to get with some things and allow God to work in my life. Then he gave the promise. And brethren, the promise certainly ought to be a motivating factor to us. The Bible says in 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so the promise of the second coming of Christ ought to help us maintain a focus. Right? To stay focused, to finish the course. Then he said this in verse number 11. Look at it. So he said, I praise God for you. And I'm praising you and other churches for what you're allowing God to do in your life. He said, I want to remind you there's a promise. There's a promise that Jesus is coming again. This life is not all there is. One day all this is going to end. And there's going to be an eternal day in which we shall praise God while the ages roll. But then he said in verse number 11, look at it. Wherefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer. So here's three things that the Apostle Paul uses to encourage these people. He said, number one, he said, I see what God's doing in your life and I want to commend you. He said, don't quit. Don't quit. It's easy to quit. He said, don't quit. You keep on for God. You keep allowing God to work in your life. And then number two, he said, remember the promise. Jesus is coming again. And then number three, he said, there's people praying for you. I'm praying for you. Isn't that what he said in verse number 11? Wherefore also we pray always for you. You say, well, preacher, there's nobody praying for me. Well, now, that's just not so. I know for a fact that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us that are saved. So Jesus is praying for you. I know that. And there's probably some folks praying for you that you're unaware of. But let me say this. It's good to let people know if you mean it and if you're doing it. Now listen to me carefully. And some of you is going to say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. Don't judge me. I'm not going to judge you. I'm just going to lay it out here for you. If you tell somebody you're praying for them, make sure you're praying for them. Don't use prayer as a word that you just pass on like, praying for you, sending prayers. Hey, wait a minute. Are you? And so, you know, if you tell someone you're praying for them, pray for them. Oftentimes, because I'm getting a little forgetful. I'm glad nobody said amen right there. I was going to take names on that one. Go back and watch the tape. A lot of times when someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I want you to pray with me, I'll stay right then. Let's pray right now. Because if I don't, I'm liable to forget. I'll get things on my mind and the day comes and goes and I'll forget. And I don't want to tell someone I'm going to pray for them if I'm not going to pray for them. Brethren, we need the prayers of one another. Amen? We need to pray for one another. Now, why is Paul doing this? Because he knows this is an encouragement. Remember, Paul is encouraging these believers in Thessalonica. And so he's encouraging them by saying, it's not all bad with you. I praise God. I glory in you for what you're allowing God to do through this hardship. Yes, you've been knocked down a bit. All right? You may have been knocked back a little bit. But now God's doing some things in your life. And we're going to see what God was doing in their life. And he said, I just want you to take note that God is doing these things in your life and allow God to continue to work in these areas in your life. We'll see them in just a moment. Then number two, he said, keep that promise before you. And brethren, we need to be encouraged that Jesus is coming again. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just feel like that the world's closing in around me. Well, Jesus is going to take us out of here now. Okay, we're leaving this world. This world is not our final destination. And so please keep that in mind, the promise. And then it's good to tell people. You say, preacher, I've got a big, long prayer list. I pray for people. You know, well, you know, that's great. I think it's good if you tell people, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I think it encourages people. Can I tell you as the pastor, probably the most encouraging thing you could do for me is tell me, I'm praying for you, Pastor. That's very encouraging to me. I just need to hear that. You say, well, you're weak. Well, whatever, I need to hear that. And I think it's good for others to hear that God's people are praying for them. We need to pray for one another. Paul did it. He told these believers, I'm praying for you. And I don't think Paul was just saying that. He meant that. And so let's be people who pray one for another. All right, now, let's go back to this praise. I want you to notice something. Paul said in verse number 4, look at it. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches. He said, I praise God for you. And I'm bragging on you a little and how God is working in your lives and how God is using these hard times. Now, brethren, hard times builds character. We live in a soft society. And God allows hard times to build character and faith and trust and dependence in our lives. And so don't shy away from those. Don't rebel against them. Don't pull back. Let God work in your life. And if God says, you know, it's fit for you to suffer, God knows what's best. God knows what's best. Let God finish that work in you. All right? Now, Paul said this. He said that we ourselves glory. I want you to notice something about the Apostle Paul, especially for this church here. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, some of my favorite letters in the New Testament. Paul said, he constantly said, I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm just going to kind of go through and show you some times where Paul said, I thank God for you. 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 Listen, that's important. You know what happens when a church begins to grow and you get a lot of different personalities and you get a lot of different people from different backgrounds? if we're not careful, we'll be, as Paul wrote over in the book of Galatians, biting and devouring one another. Remember that in Galatians? He said, in Galatians chapter 5, biting and devouring. And that's just a poor testimony in the community, to be just at each other's throat like wild animals, you know, just going at one another, just biting and devouring. Now, there's going to be disagreements. That's going to happen. But there's a right way to handle them. Amen? And so he said here, he said, I want you to know, church, I thank God for you. Look, if you would, in verse number 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. We give thanks to God always for you all. I think he meant that. I don't think Paul was just a country boy. I think he meant literally for you all. You say, well, you know, I like some of the church, but I just don't like all the church family. Well, learn to be thankful for all the church family. You may not be best friends with all the church family, but we're in the same body. We serve in the same local assembly. We need to learn what it is to appreciate the qualities of those that are different than us. Amen. And we'll get to that in just a moment. So he said that in verse number 2. Notice also, if you would, in chapter 2, verse number 13. Look at chapter 2, verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. He said, we're thankful for you because you received the word of God, not as it was the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the very word of God. And he said, I thank God for that. I've told you often how I thank God that we can have the word of God preached straight. We don't have to water it down. Not going to. We're not going to dumb it down. We're just going to preach the word. And I thank God for a people that will come service after service and sit and open their Bible and say, feed us. Preach to us. Amen. And if we can't say amen, we'll say, oh me. We just want to hear Bible preaching. Look, if you would, in chapter 3. Chapter 3. Look in verse number 9 of chapter 3. Paul said, for what thanks can we render to God for you? He said, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you. Look, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3. This was read in your hearing tonight. We are bound to thank God always for you. See, Paul was thankful for this body of believers. Can I ask you a question? Are you thankful for your church family? When you pray, do you say, God, thank you that I have a place to go where I can love people and they can love me, and I can serve and I can use my talents and gifts, but I can also benefit from the talents and gifts that you've given my church family that helps me and ministers to me? Where the word of God is open and preached and our souls are fed and we have opportunity to serve and worship. Be thankful for your church. Now, the church is not perfect. Fellowship Baptist Church is not perfect. We have a lot of work to do. Amen. We have a lot of work to do. Got a long way to go. And until Jesus comes, God help us to stay at it. Not to rest on our laurels and think, well, you know, we're going to fill this building up and then that's it. Listen, the ministries are not about filling buildings up. The ministry is about serving God. Amen. Ministering to people, reaching people, using our gifts and abilities to glorify God. Look, if you would, one final time in 2 Thessalonians. Look, if you would, in chapter number 2 of 2 Thessalonians in verse number 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. So over and over again, the Apostle Paul says, you know, I thank God for you. And I thank God for you. And I do trust in my heart that you thank God for your church. Listen, you'll be a greater asset to your church if you're thankful for it. God will use you. He will. God will use you to encourage people. And God will use you in your local assembly when you can come with a heart full of thanksgiving. So, hey, you know, I don't like the way this one does that or this one does that. Sometimes, preacher, I don't like the way you do this. Well, you know, we're different. And you're not going to like everything about everything. As a matter of fact, if you did, I'd be concerned. But that's where spiritual maturity comes in, right? Where we learn what it is to receive one another without disputation. And we'll get to that in a moment. Now, Paul said, I praise God for you. I'm thankful for you. Paul, what are you thankful for? Look, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. He said, I'm thankful for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. He said, I praise God for you. I'm praising God, and I want to praise you. I want to brag on you a little bit. I see you growing in your faith. Is that what he said? That's what he said. He said, I'm thankful. I see you growing in your faith. Can I tell you, as the pastor of 15 years here, I look out over our congregation, and I've seen some young men and young women grow up physically and mature physically, but I've seen some grow up spiritually as well. I've seen some folks go through some hardship, some trial, some sorrow, and instead of resisting and rebelling and pushing back, they allowed God to conform and to mold and mature their faith, and it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing. Even now, as we go through some of the trials and some of the sorrow and some of the hurt, some of the tribulation and troubles that we go through, I see God working in some lives. But now be careful, because it's right here that a lot of folks check out. And brethren, that's not good. That's not good. Stay connected. Stay on your knees. Stay in the Word. Stay close to God. And then as believers, let us encourage one another. Let us pray for one another. And let us let people know, I'm praying for you. And I care about you. And I'm not talking about pampering people. Listen, that's not ministry. You can say amen right there. Pampering people, that's not ministry. But ministering to people's needs now that's another thing. And Paul said, I just want to praise God for you. I see your faith growing exceedingly. Now, why do you think Paul was excited about this? I think I know. I want you to look back, if you would, in just chapter 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Turn to chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Look at verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse number 10. Paul said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He said, your faith's weak, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying that we might see God stir you up and grow your faith and increase your faith. And God sent some hardship. He did. God sent some more hardship to the church at Thessalonica. Now Paul's writing this letter back. And he said, I just want you to know, again, back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3, he said, your faith groweth exceedingly. He said, God answered my prayer. I've seen some things lacking in your faith. Paul said, I got to praying about it, because I knew that you were not going to last long if your faith was not strengthened. Listen, the devil pounces on the weak and the vulnerable. Hear me now. He said, I'm praying that your faith would be strengthened, and that is lacking in your faith would be perfected. And God sent some hardship and some trial, and Paul said, I'm seeing you grow exceedingly in this area of your life. Are you growing in your faith? Are you? Am I growing in my faith? Are we learning what it is to trust God in the good times and the bad? Can you sing in the valley as well as on the mountain? Can you say God is good in a cave as well as on a mountain? Can you give praise to God when things are going bad as well as going good? See, that's what faith is. This word faith is so close, and I challenge you to go home and look at it, to faithfulness. See, our faith to God is so close and so it directly is involved in our faithfulness in life. Faithfulness in life is directly attached to our faith in God. And so he said, I praise God for you. In chapter 1 and verse 3, how that I see your faith groweth exceedingly. And I'm thankful for the way that some folks have just, I watch it. I could start calling names of people. I've just seen you grow in your faith. And it's so encouraging. So encouraging to see people. Now, it's very discouraging to see people want to quit and fall back. It's just discouraging. And pull back and use all manner of things. Now, that doesn't mean we don't minister to them, as we'll see here in just a moment. But it is discouraging. And so how do you respond when the hardships and the trials come? Do you draw closer to God? Do you draw nigh to God? Or do you pull back? That is a good evidence if your faith is growing exceedingly. Number 2, write it down. Not only did he say your faith is growing exceedingly, but look, if you would, in the remaining part of that verse number 3, he said, and that the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He said, your love is abounding. Your faith is growing exceedingly. He said, but your love toward one another is abounding. You know, again, I refer you back to chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians because Paul prayed about that too. Paul was a man who got his prayers answered. Amen. He said, not only am I praying about your faith in verse number 10, look at verse number 12. He said, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. He said, I'm praying night and day that God would make you to increase and abound in love. That was the first letter. Paul said, I want you to know I'm praying about this matter of y'all loving one another. And then when you get to the second letter in chapter 1, in the latter part of verse number 3, he said, I sure am glad that the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. God answered his prayer. Amen. Are you praying that our love would abound toward each other? Are you praying that your love would abound toward others? Say, I'm good in that area, preacher. You sure? You praying that your faith would increase? You're praying that the faith of your church family would increase and that we would love one another. You say, well, I tell people I love them all the time. Well, the Bible doesn't want us just to love in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. Is that right? God wants us to do some things to show people we love them. What can we do? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to take just a few moments as we go back, and I do want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians again. Paul had pointed out some areas of the church that needed addressing. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. I want you to look there in chapter number 5. In chapter number 4, let's look at that first. In chapter 4, look at verse number 9. He said, but as touching brotherly love, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And he said this in verse 11. He said, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you. Verse 10. He said, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Paul said, you need to be abounding in your love. He said, you ought to love one another. He said, there's some areas in the church that need to be addressed, and I'm going to address them. I think they're present right here tonight. I do. And it's ways that we can show people we love them. You say, well, how can I show people I love them? See, a lot of folks, when they think about love, they think you just tell somebody that, and that does it. We love you. Well, that's good now. I mean, listen, don't misunderstand me. But love is an action word. It's a word that goes into action. What can you do as a church member to help people in the church that you love? Well, let's look and see what the Scripture says. It might not be what you think. Look in chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren. Well, I tell you, he's talking to the church and not just the leadership, though I think the leadership should lead the way in this. It starts with me as the pastor and right on down. But he's talking to the church here. Notice what he said. He said, I beseech you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. You don't love people? Tell people when they're out of bounds. Well, that doesn't sound like love. Oh, it's love. I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. Hey, you're a little out of bounds, sister. Brother, you're a little out of bounds. And I'm concerned. You see that word unruly? It means careless. It means careless. And sometimes all of us can get a little careless in our spiritual life, in our walk with God. Amen? Oh, not me, preacher. Yeah, I believe all of us. And there's not a thing wrong with going up to somebody and putting your arm around them and saying, brother, I've noticed that you slacked off. Your fervor's not, your passion's not what it used to be. How can I pray for you? What can I do for you? I love you, brother. I want to help you. I'm not judging you. I'm not passing judgment on you. I'm not trying to get out of my lane. I just want to help you. He said, notice it again in verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Then notice what else he said. Comfort the feeble-minded. This means the faint of heart, the little soul. Comfort them. Do you know that there's folks in every church congregation, they quit about every week. They're just so weak. And he said, comfort them. The little soul, the feeble-minded. Gotta go to them and comfort them. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going to coddle them. He didn't say coddle them. He said comfort them. Right? You want to love? You want to abound in love? You say, well, I'll just write them a letter. Well, that's good. But comfort them. Go to them. I guarantee you know somebody right now that's saved in the grace of God that could use a little comforting, a little encouraging, that you could just go to and say, listen, I believe you're struggling. And while I don't want to cater, and while I don't want to coddle, I do want to comfort. And so the scripture says here, warn them that are unruly. That's careless and out of bounds. Then he said, comfort the feeble-minded. That's the little soul. That's those that are always, listen, always on the brink of quitting. You know someone like that? Always on the brink of quitting. Just one step away from being away from God, out of church, and out in the world. He said, you know, sometimes folks need reached out to. Right? Well, we have deacons, don't we, preacher? Well, he didn't say deacons. Notice again in verse number 14. Now we exhort you, what's that next word? Brethren. See, this is the ministry of a local assembly. Now again, the deacons as the servants in the church and the pastor as a servant to the church, we all lead in this. But this is everyone's responsibility. There's people you can reach that I can't. And you need to understand that. Then he said this, look at it in verse number 14. He said, support the weak. That word weak there. Support the weak. I looked it up, and I want to get to it here. It's not talking about weak as far as lacking physical strength. It's talking about, and I'll find it here in a minute. It's talking about those that are weak as far as in their faith. Those that are always on edge. They just always need a word of comfort. He said, you go to them, and notice what he said to do to them. He said, support them. Don't down them. So, well, they don't live like I live. Well, we're all in different places in our walk with God. Amen. Listen to me now. This is what rips churches apart. We have to deal with people at the level of their need, where they are in their faith. Man been saved 6 months and here you are trying to treat him like he's been saved 6 years. I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to hinder that man. You're going to hurt that man. And God's going to hold you accountable. So be careful. So what do you mean, preacher? Hold your place here and turn to Romans just for a moment in chapter 14. This is some of the greatest scripture on getting along in church in all the Bible. Romans chapter 14. Say, preacher, why are our churches just ravaged and ripped apart and splitting this one, listen, a split off a split. It's because that we're not following the scripture. Notice what Paul said here, and I'm not going to get into this in detail, but there's a few words I want to point out. It's so important. And our churches, our Christian folks are being deceived by the world and trying to do things the way the world does instead of the way the Bible teaches. Look what he said in verse 1. him that is weak in the faith receive ye. Amen. And do it without doubtful disputations. Right? Well, you know, they go to places that sell alcohol. They go eat places that sell alcohol. And I don't. And I think it's wrong. Well, you know what? Stick to it if that's what you think. But don't drive that down that man's throat. You help that brother. Amen. We're trying to change people to who you are. We're trying, listen, we're trying to help people through the preaching of the word to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not the image of you or me. Amen. And it's just ravaging our churches, brethren. It's not encouraging at all. Let's read on. He said in verse number 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak, eateth herbs. See, you thought that that one that was always cutting things out was a strong one. Paul said sometimes he can be the weak one. Is that what he said, brethren? Absolutely. He said, in this whole section, he's just saying, receive people, though they may be weak, receive them. And then he said this, watch this very carefully in verse number 3. This is where the unity comes in. He said, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Now him that eateth, now listen carefully. Him that eateth is the strong. Him that eateth not is the weak. Now listen. And he said, don't be despising the weak. Him old sorry, you know, backslid, don't live like me. They ought to get right with God. You know, he said, hey, be careful. He said, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Don't let the strong despise the weak. And look at the rest of the verse. And let not him which eateth not, the weak, judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Not everybody's going to live like you. Amen. Let God work in people's lives. Let God work in your life. I'm so thankful that when I was a young Christian, I wasn't just, you know, beat up on and, my goodness, it's just not right. It hurts people. And Paul's talking about encouraging people. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about clear biblical distinctives. I'm talking about preferences here. I'm talking about things that we may have differences on as believers, but we ought to be able to get along, serve God, and move forward. So he said, receive them. All right, then notice this in chapter 14, and I've got to get out of this chapter. I'll be in here longer than I should. Look, if you would, in verse number 19 of chapter 14 of Romans. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Well, would to God that God's people could get that down. And then he said this, and things wherewith one may edify another. So he said, number one, receive one another. And then he said this. He said, edify one another. You know what the word edify means? Build up. Encourage. Right? Now listen, I know there's a time for reproof and rebuke and correction, but there's also a time for edification. He said, build up. Build up. Then he said this, and this is the one I really want to just spend a little bit of time on. Look at chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Did you get that? We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Remember what he wrote in 1 Thessalonians? Strengthen the weak. Right? Go to them. Help them. Don't sit around criticize them. That's easy. It's wrong, but it's easy. Let me just say this while I'm here. Look at chapter 15. He said this, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Wow. Did you get that? Wasn't that so different than what you hear a lot of Christians saying today? Well, I've just got to do what's pleasing to me. I'm so glad I broke out of all that and I'm just doing what's pleasing to me. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says this, you not ought to please yourself. You be careful about that mindset. You need to please Jesus. Amen. So you be careful now about that thing. Well, I just got to please me. I just got to do what's good for me. No, you do what's right. You do what this book teaches. He goes on to say in verse number 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For not even Christ pleased himself. Verse number 3. So I'm going to tell you something. That's a lot of hell. You stay away from that. That's a lot of hell. I just got to do what pleases me. No, you do what pleases Jesus. We ought to walk even also as he walked. Amen. And you listen, you stay away from that mindset. That's a worldly mindset. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. You'll find yourself, listen, you'll find yourself moving in the wrong direction in this thing called growth. You'll be going backward. And here's what he said. He said, we then, in verse number 1, that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I just got to do what pleases me, preacher. No, you do what pleases Jesus and everything will be all right. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be pleased with it too. As we go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and bring this to a close, I want to remind you that we live in a day where people are so easily offended. We're just in a soft, it's not going to change, brethren. Some of us has got a little age on us. It's not going to change. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in the next generation is soft. I'm just saying that overall, we just live in a soft society here in America. Bunch of spoiled, rotten. I mean, it's discouraging to know. But I'm thankful that not everyone is of that mindset. There's this mindset going around. I just want to warn you against it. Well, I'm offended. Well, that doesn't make you right. Amen. I'm offended. Well, that doesn't make you right. I don't understand that. People think, well, I'm offended. That means I'm right and you're wrong. No, it might mean you're wrong and that's why you're offended. So listen, don't buy into that stuff of the world now. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I understand offenses come. Jesus said it's impossible, Luke 17:1, but that offenses will come. But now don't think just because you're offended, you're right. Don't do that. You'll mess up. You'll miss a truth and an opportunity for God to help you in life. So he said, number one, you in 2 Thessalonians again? He said, number one, he said, I'm thankful that your faith groweth exceedingly. And number two, I'm glad that the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. You're helping one another. You're reaching out to the weak and you're reaching out to the feeble-minded and you're reaching out to the unruly in the fellowship and you're ministering to them in love. Right? That's what he's saying. And he said, that's good. Then he said this. He said, I'm glad that your patience is increasing. Look at chapter 1, verse number 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God and your patience and faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. He said, I've watched you and you're allowing these things to come into your life and you're not quitting and you're not feigning. You're allowing them to carry out the work that God has. And you realize that God is going to allow us to suffer. Sure hope that all of you realize this. Young people, listen to the preacher tonight now. You're going to suffer in life. You say, well, I'll just quit coming to church. Well, you're still going to suffer in life. I'll just quit reading my Bible. You're still going to suffer in life. You might suffer more. Suffering's a part of life. And the sooner that we yield to what God has for us and realize that God has a good purpose for it, the sooner we'll mature and God can grow our faith and God can cause our love to abound. Now, why do you think that Paul mentioned patience in verse number 4? Look what he said now. For your patience. Why do you think he mentioned that in verse 4? I think I know why. Because when it comes to faith and love, listen, when tribulation comes, faith and love has to be directed in the right direction. Listen, please listen carefully to this. Faith has to be directed upward toward God. God, I trust you. I trust you. I don't understand all that's going on right now, but God, I trust you. I can't trace your hand, but I trust your heart. I know you're doing right by me. I know, God. That's faith. And then love doesn't go upward. Love goes outward. See, when persecution, tribulation come, you know what happens? We can get very, very selfish. We can be very selfish people when we start going through hardships. Right? That's why Paul said, I want your love to abound outward. I want you to find people that you can minister to and start helping other people. You say, well, preacher, I'm hurting. Well, everybody's hurting in some way. Help somebody. Don't sit around and just sulk and wait on everything to come to you. No, you reach out to someone else. It's good ministry for you. It'll help you. Please, take this biblical exhortation and let it be an encouragement to you. When you're going through a hard time, and we all do, it doesn't mean that we sit around and wait for everybody just to come to us. And no, it means that we need ministry. But we can minister to others too in our hardships, can't we? We've done it and we can do it. And I tell you, Paul said right here, he said, that's where your patience of faith will come in. Got to be patient. Wait on that opportunity. God, if you'll just look up with your faith and look out with your charity, God will give you opportunity and God will strengthen and mature you and he'll help you through that period of time in your life. And he said, other people will benefit. That's my final thing. So their faith was growing. Their love was abounding. Their patience was just growing out. And God was using this to mature their faith. But the final thing is it was helping other people. It just wasn't helping them. See, the trials in my life and the trials in yours, the trials at this church, it's not just helping us, brethren. There's people attached to all of our lives and it's helping. I close with this. Look at the verse number 4 again. So that we ourselves glory in you. Look at this. In the churches of God. I'm telling other people what God is doing in your life and it's helping them. It's helping them. See, God will allow trouble in our lives that he could help us in that trouble. This is 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. So that we can be a help to others that are in trouble. And so don't always look at your trouble and your sorrow and your hardship and your tribulation as being, well, this is about me. No, it's much deeper than that. God's plan is much bigger than that. And so I pray as a church that we would understand and have perspective on what's happening here. All right? You say, well, Satan, I know what's happening. Satan's attacking us. Well, you know, that's probably some truth to that, but now God's allowing it. I always go back to Job. Amen? God's allowing it. And he's allowing it to grow our faith. He's allowing it that our love may abound. See, there are some imperfections in us that God is working in our lives to make us a church that we ought to be. As I said earlier, as we stand to our feet, brethren, we have a long way to go. And if we're not careful, we'll think, well, preacher, we're almost there. Oh, no, we're not. No. There's a lot of work that God needs to do in my life. How about you? God needs to do some work in my life. And I believe God needs to do some work in your life. I sure hope that you didn't sit there the whole time thinking, well, I've got two or three people on my mind that God really needs to work in their heart. I hope you were thinking about you. I know when God was speaking to my heart about this message, he was speaking to me. Brethren, I've got a lot of room for improvement and growth and maturity. And I just don't want to get to the place where I feel like I've arrived and I'm there and I start speaking down to people and I start just disregarding what God has said and I think that I know better or more. I just want to leave myself open to God's working in my life. And I want Fellowship Baptist Church, for the glory of God now, not the name of a preacher or a family, but for the glory of God, I want us to be a faithful people where our faith is growing exceedingly. I want us to be a loving people of charity where our love is abounding toward one another and we're reaching out and we're helping people in these avenues that were mentioned from the Scripture tonight. Then I want us to be a patient people. You know, God, listen, God can grow a mushroom overnight. But it takes many years and a lot of storms to grow a mighty oak. We don't want to be a mushroom. We want God to make us something strong and lasting. So have patience. And then last of all, I want other people to benefit from what God's doing in my life. And it may not all be the blessings and the positive. It may be the trials and some of the suffering that God is putting me through. I want them to see that my God is faithful in every situation. Let's bow our heads together. God, speak to your heart this evening as the piano begins to play.